have talked about the concept of mind-body awareness. Today on the podcast, I want to talk about a concept related to that called embodiment. And I think it's an important topic in terms of understanding mind-body connection. And we'll get into it this more, but mind-body is one word when you're embodied. So stay tuned. Hello and welcome to Ask Dr. Gill. I am your host, Dr. Gill Winkelman. And today on the podcast, I want to talk about the concept of embodiment because I think this is a really important topic in terms of understanding lots of the topics we've talked about recently: co-regulation, mind-body awareness, attachment theory, and yoga, and so forth. And I think that there's kind of a misunderstanding, if you will, around what embodiment is. And put simply, it's about being in your body. And you know, some people would say, well, I'm in my body, Dr. Gill. It is often that, particularly if trauma is involved, that we're actually disembodied. We're not fully present with our experience on a moment-to-moment basis. And I'll give you an example. If you've ever driven from home to work, for example, or vice versa, and you just got there and you're thinking, how did I get here? That's a disembodied reaction. You're on autopilot. And this happens way more often with my patients than I think they realize. And a lot of it is a lot of my patients have pretty severe trauma in their histories. And trauma, by definition, creates a situation where people go into freeze mode. And when you're in freeze, there is an aspect of disembodiment that happens. Now, it doesn't mean that every time you go into freeze, you're going to be disembodied. What I mean by that is if the situation, if you don't resolve it in the nervous system, that's when people can get disembodied. And we see this in lots of ways. We do things unconsciously. We just go into autopilot. And so when you're embodied, there's greater regulation of the nervous system. Now, I will tell you this. If you are not embodied, getting embodied sometimes can bring up a lot of emotional, you know, a lot of emotions. And it happens not necessarily because you're being punished or anything. It's really just a release of the energy that's stuck. And that's kind of the way I describe this to patients, because oftentimes we get caught in this idea that we're needing to remember things, we're needing to release things, we're needing to do something to make a change in our life. And the reality is that it's just energy. It's just energy that's stuck that we're releasing. There doesn't need to be a story around it. There doesn't need to be memories found. It's just watching the experience unfold in that moment. So that's the piece about this. So let me talk about the benefits of being embodied. For one thing, you get improved nervous system regulation. In other words, if something happens, you become hyper aroused or you freeze, your ability to re-regulate is greatly improved after that experience. And I can speak to this from my own personal experience. Recently, I was in driving and someone cut me off and I pulled over and stopped because it was so scary in that moment. And, you know, when I was disembodied, I just keep going and it would kind of fester within me for days or weeks afterwards in various ways. And I just allowed it to move through me. And so after that, you know, after about 10 minutes, I was fine and went about my way as if nothing happened. That's kind of what our nervous systems are wired to do. But we don't do that oftentimes because there's something going on that prevents us from doing that. I'll use the example of wartime situation, because a lot of veterans have PTSD because you don't have time to react. You don't have time to process that often in that moment. You just have to keep going and just sort of push through because your survival's at stake. For most of us, that's not necessarily the situation, right? But oftentimes, I would say we have parents who, without knowing, kind of they're in a rush. We live in a very high, fast-paced society. And so there's situations where the child is crying and having a meltdown, if you will, and the parent needing to move on to the next thing picks up the child or does something where that situation maybe doesn't get resolved for the person. And I think that this is where we learn to just kind of push through the pain, push through the experience, turn things off. So improved nervous system regulation is one of the key components of being embodied. You have enhanced self-awareness. You are able to experience your bodily feelings. You're able to experience and understand, oh, I'm stressed. I'm feeling dysregulated. This is really important in interpersonal relationships, right? Because if you don't know that you're feeling stressed or you're triggered by your partner, that's when you're more likely to just lash out. And if you can understand, oh, I'm having a reaction, then you can take a breath, take a moment, step back, and re-engage from a different place, right? You don't necessarily have to do it in that moment. You can say, hey, I'm triggered. I need to step back. But the only way you can do that is if you're embodied, if you know you've been triggered. And if you don't have the felt sense, then you just push through. And what happens is that things can escalate. So with people that are embodied, they have greater emotional resilience as well. And I kind of hinted at this. In other words, you can feel through the pain of the emotion and let it go. Emotions generally only last for about 90 seconds. And then they're gone. And it's really, if it lasts longer, it's because our mental health is, our minds rather, are holding on to whatever it is. And stress reduction is part of this as well, because if you're embodied, you can know you're stressed and then reduce the stress. And you generally, people who are embodied really have more clarity and self-assurance and in their lives. And I think that the thing about being embodied, when we talk about mind-body connection, when you're embodied, that connection becomes unhyphenated. In other words, it's not mind-body. It's mind-body, one word, when you're embodied. And this is the piece, I think, that is important in terms of how do you live your life. For me, I can share this. As a doctor, before I was a doctor, I was a scientist. There was a lot of disembodiment in that it was that I was in my head trying to find things and you know, understand things mentally. You know, we were doing experiments and stuff, and there's a scientific process behind it. But I think that the challenge in science is that oftentimes when we are looking at these minute, and when I say science, I mean bioscience, when we're looking at these minute details inside the cell, there's a disconnect to felt sense experience. And I think that we're at a stage in our civilization where people are pushing back against that. And I think this is where embodiment is important, particularly in the scientific community. It's something that isn't specifically measurable in sort of the gold, quote unquote, gold standard of bioscience. But I think that there are aspects of this that are definitely being brought to the foreground in terms of science. And I don't want to go into the whole scientific discussion about this and sort of the way the research is done. But I think it's important to recognize how when you kind of look at, say, and I'll use an example, say we're looking at the efficacy of a medication and the balance between that the medication does what it says it's going to do. People, you know, you take an SSRI and you're not depressed. But the person who's taking the SSRI says, yeah, I'm not depressed, but I don't quite feel who I am either. And so this is where I think the concept of embodiment can be very important in terms of helping us find mental health. And I'm going to take a quick break. And on the second half of the show, I want to talk about what you can do to become more embodied. So stay tuned. Hello and welcome to Ask Dr. Gill. I am your host, Dr. Gill Winkleman. And before we continue with our discussion about embodiment, I want to just remind people that if you have any questions or comments, please feel free to send me an email to info@askdrgill.com. And I'm happy to respond to questions and comments that are helpful to people. I'm also at the end of the program and in the show notes, I'll have a link to my workshop about health stories, which is really related to this topic of embodiment. So what is it that you can do to become more embodied? And the most important thing is being aware of what you're doing in the moment. And this is where, you know, practices such as breath work, such as body mind, you know, body focused mindfulness movements such as yoga or stretching or ecstatic dance or Tai Chi, something where you slow things down and you feel what it is that's happening physically. And if you have been very disembodied for a long time, this could be a process that takes months, 2 years for it to occur. It's not something that will happen once, you know, if you do it once or you do it twice. It's really about a long-term process and gain. So, you know, it's not a one and done thing. What, you know, as a quick example, in medical school, we talked about this concept called Fletcher eyes, which is about chewing your food 32 times. The act of chewing your food 32 times can be done unconsciously. You're just counting 1, 2, 3, 4 in your mind. Or you can be noticing the experience of your jaw moving as you count as well. And this is a really important way of becoming embodied, because you're noticing how you are using your body. And another example, there was an online course that I took about turning your glutes on. And it was really interesting that he has the student do an exercise of sitting consciously and being aware of your glute muscles. And how most people are not using their glutes when they sit. They're using their quads, the front of their thighs, and their low back. And it was really eye-opening. And he has an exercise of walking slowly where you're purposefully engaging your glutes, your butt muscles, so that you're using those instead of your low back, and you're also using your core and turning those on. That's true embodiment, right? Is knowing that you're doing that. And it's really interesting, because for those of you who are disembodied and you do this, you're going to notice, oh, my body feels better. You're going to start noticing that. You're going to notice that you're achy if you're really disconnected. But then you're going to notice that, oh, my body feels better. Oh, I've been using my muscles incorrectly. I've been turning things on incorrectly. And I'll say that oftentimes when we start an exercise regime and we're unaware, we actually hurt ourselves more. And I've seen this with patients. And in fact, this has been my experience taking yoga, but with patients who started yoga and did it in a way that's unconscious, that you end up just reinforcing that bad habits, if you will, that you already have, and not engaging. And good yoga instructors will give you cues to move your body in a way that you're turning on the muscles that need to be turned on. And sometimes they give you that cue and you're like, well, how do I do that? I mean, that does happen. And that's a good conversation to have with the yoga instructor, so that you can kind of feel that experience of, oh, that's what that feels like. And what was interesting about this course is, after you found yourself not being able to sit, this is the first lesson, he had you lie down and turn your glutes on. And it's easier when you're lying down or even standing than it is when you're sitting, at least at first. And so over the course of these lessons, I started noticing, oh, my glutes are turned on. Oh, I can sit now and I feel that engaging. I feel that engagement. And I now feel, if I do yoga or I'm doing weightlifting or whatever I'm doing, surfing, I feel my core engage. And it's great. And it's interesting, because I didn't used to. So that's part of that awareness. And it really does take more of an introspection to be able to do that. And finally, in terms of what you can do, I think that there are somatic therapies for people who are really unaware. So some of them, and I mentioned these in another podcast, there's a techniques called Bowen, Feldenkrais, Alexander technique, Rolfing, certain types of Rolfing. Some of them are harsher than others. And these are like very subtle practices where the practitioner is giving you a cue and maybe touching something on your body. And there's a felt sense and a underlying awareness where you don't necessarily have to think about it. It's almost like getting the neurofeedback, but on the body, if you will, where you're like, you let go and you change your engagement in terms of the muscle memory. And I think a lot of this is that we get emotion stuck in the body, in the muscle, in the joints, in the fascia. And that's the energy. That's the stuck energy. So oftentimes, like if people do trauma-informed yoga, for example, and they're doing a pose, particularly if there's something in the hips or the psoas, which is the front, goes from your kind of your stomach into your thighs on the front of your body. That's the psoas, the iliopsoas. We store a lot of stuff there. And whether it's an emotional toxin or physical toxin, that energy as you begin to let go can be overwhelming. And just know it will pass as you go through it. And I think that that's the piece, going back to what I was talking about earlier in the show with trauma, is oftentimes whatever happened wasn't dealt with. And it's not an intellectual process. That's why I don't know if it's that important. And sometimes I think it's harmful to go back and try and dredge up old memories about things. It's more about how do I let go of this in the physical form and then move forward. So, all right. So that's what I have for you today. And if you have any comments or questions, again, feel free to email me. Check out my website, askdrgill.com. And on there, I have courses, and I will be putting up the information for the new course and workshop on changing your health stories, which is really a big part of this, is about feeling embodied and kind of getting into that felt sense of things. So I hope you enjoyed this, and looking forward to seeing you next time.